Ron Wotus joins us, the bench coach of the Giants. Good morning, Wo.
Morning, Marty. Good to be with you.
Yeah, I was in the elevator with the guy with the spinach today.
And he told me,
I said, where is that going? He says, we make the spinach dip from scratch right here.
Well, Marty, you've got a handle on every nook and cranny of this ballpark.
I love it.
I've never seen that myself. And you've been to places in this park that I have not been.
Yeah, I like it. All right. The fog is out there this morning, but of course by game time it'll burn off. But you're coming across the bridge. You must have seen it.
Yeah, we had a little bit out in the East Bay. Not too bad. But once you go through the tunnel, it gets locked in there pretty much. And a little bit of fog. It'll burn off.
I thought the ball club played well yesterday. And of course, you know, you wait for Giants baseball here at the park. Yesterday was a Giants game. And look, this Oriole team is serious. They're a good ball club.
Yeah, they're a very good team. They play in a tough division. I mean, they're playing, when they're in their division, they're playing good teams every night. We've played well the last two. You know, we couldn't finish it off on Friday night. We had the game there for us. If we could have pushed that run across, we could have won both games. So all in all, we've played better the last two days, but still not getting the results every night.
No, but you're pitching. And I said on the show last night, last 15 games, 14 of them, 3 earned runs or less, and really less than that by the starting pitching. The only one was a Zito game, I think, in Philly. But other than that, every time you're going out there now, you're getting sort of the pitching that you look for.
Yeah, no question. And that's how we've played in the past. And that's, you know, like you said, Giants baseball, we pitch well and, you know, need to push some runs across to support that pitching. You hate to waste these great pitching efforts. And if we can keep the game close and get some key hits like we did yesterday, we'll come up on the winning side.
And catch the ball too. Catch the ball.
You need all three. Look, I mean, you know, probably if you look at this season, it hasn't been just one thing, but all three have gone bad at times and have cost us. So you have to put together a clean game. You have to pitch, get the key hits, and obviously catch the ball.
You know, I think it's interesting going against Buck Showalter, and you've gone against him many times, I'm sure, in your career. He's a little different as a manager. And you were here when he walked Bonds.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, Brent Maine was up next, the base is loaded. He walked Bonds. What, you know?
I remember that like it was yesterday. I was just telling somebody on the bench yesterday who I was talking to about that particular situation. Bases loaded. We had a 3-run lead, and or he had a 3-run lead in the bottom of the ninth with two outs, and he chose to walk Bonds to put another run in and put the tying run to second base to pitch to Brent Maine. So he's betting that Brent Maine will not get a single and Bonds will, you know, at least hit the ball in the gap or hit a home run. Well, as it turned out, he looked like a genius because Maine came up, and the first pitch he saw, he hit a rocket right at the right fielder and did not have to move. And that's how the game ended.
Well, I thought of it yesterday because, you know, as I said, you know, look, managing is tough. We know that. There's a million reasons why. But he's got Chen out there, not a lot of pitches. You know, he's a lefty. The game is sort of on the line. We always say the save can come at any time.
Right.
And, you know, he gets 2-0 on Posey or 3-0, whatever. He puts him on to get the Pence, you know, another righty. And there's no righty in the bullpen. It was Chen's game at that point, which I understand he's a starter. But he's a little different, Buck, at that point. You'd think, you know, this is an important game for him.
Sure.
They're a game and a half out of the wild card right now and still in contention in the East. You'd think you want to manage it a little bit differently and not let it get away like that.
Well, obviously, he didn't want to bring a right-hander in. He wanted to leave Chen in there to get a chance to get him the win. And, you know, guys that have managed as long as Buck has managed, you know, they really can. They call their own shots. I think they use their intuition a lot. You know, the season is so long, you know, and that's what makes them good. You know, they give their guys an opportunity at certain points, even though it is a big game for them to win. You know, those things pay off for your players, play for you. You know, you show the confidence in them. And if it was a little bit later in the game, you know, I'm sure he would have made that move. But I think guys like Buck obviously use their intuition. They throw the book out the window. You say he's a little different. I've seen him just like walking Bonds. You know, that's not in the book anywhere. You're not supposed to walk a guy with the bases loaded on intentional. So You know, they use their intuition. They've been in a lot of games, and they stay in the moment, you know, regardless of what the stats say and what the experts say and with the matchups. You know, they evaluate their guy in the mound and how the guy's swinging and who they want to pitch to in that particular moment.
Yeah, the key word you just said is how the guy's swinging, because I think Chen struck out Pence earlier in the game.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he probably said, all right, come up and in on him, and he didn't. He went away on him, and that's the pitch that Pence can hit.
And that's a great point, because you know, any lefty can get out of righty and vice versa. But you look at the percentages, and they're against you. But if you make your pitches and you have a plan, and you make your pitches, and you know, some pitches are you know, just because they're lefty, they're better off getting righties out because they can make that slider down and in or whatever the pitch is. So those things come into play.
Yeah, it was for you guys Friday night. I mean, with Javi Lopez, and I've been saying for weeks, let him pitch the righties. Come on, he's terrific. And of course, he did, and you know, gave up the hit. And then, of course, Davis, lefty, hit it. But it was the pitch location.
Right.
That was the whole deal. And Javi says, look, I didn't put the ball where I wanted to put
it. Yeah, it's a game of inches, and, you know, I mean, that's the way it goes. You know, you could make a good pitch, and they still can hit it. Yeah. They can bloop it in. So, you know, he was going away. It was a little bit middle end, and, you know, hopefully we could have got underneath that ball if you know, we were playing a little bit different. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in this game that can change the outcome, and it's not always the obvious moment or pitch or whatever it is.
Yeah, it brings me to another point, and that is the shift we're seeing today. Now, of course, the shift, probably Babe Ruth, they shifted against him. But Lou Boudreaux, who's a manager of the Cleveland Indians in the mid-40s, did it to Ted Williams. It was the Williams shift. And Williams was not an arrogant guy, but, you know, he's called himself the greatest hitter who ever lived. He would not go the other way. He was going to hit the ball through the shift no matter what. All of a sudden, and we've seen the shift over the years from time to time, and that is putting all the infielders on one side of the diamond, third baseman sort of playing in short right field, and the shortstop maybe stays at second or vice versa. But it's coming back. This is coming back. You guys do it. It's all over baseball now.
Yeah, it's really picked up the last 2 years. You see teams, you know, I've watched the American League East. I was watching the Yankees play and against the Red Sox, and there's three guys in their starting lineup. I think it was Cano and, well, Texera when he was playing. The Yankees had three guys that the Red Sox would shift on. I mean, they're shifting more than just being in a conventional defense. But, look, there's a lot of information out there that will back that up. You know, it's really a game of percentages. This whole thing is percentages. And if you look at the maps, we call them the maps, not the charts, because when Felipe was here, he'd always say, what do the maps say? So we check the maps, and, you know, that's part of it. That's a small part of it. And, you know, so you play the percentages, and more teams are doing that. And it's unusual because you hadn't seen it a lot in the past.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. You know, there's a couple things. Obviously, there's some hitters like a Ryan Howard and people like that. They're no-brainers. No matter how you pitch them or what pitcher's on the mound, whether he's throwing 95 or he's throwing 85, if you throw that ball hard away, they're going to hook it and they're going to pull it.
Okay?
So those guys are no-brainers. You're going to shift on them if the charts show you that he doesn't hit the ball in the third base area, but he's got a lot of hits, you know, on the other side of the field. So those guys know it. Now there's other guys that are a little less likely to have that type of map, to where they may hit the ball to third base, but it's not as much. So it's a matter of, what do you want to do? What percentage do you want to play? Do you want to play the percentages, or do you want to stay conventional? Because I'll say this, guys that will hit the ball in other spots, you could stay in a straightaway defense, and they can get base hits between first and second all day long, and nobody blinks. No big deal. But the minute you put a shift on, and he hits the ball where the third baseman was supposed to be, everybody says, what are they doing? What are they doing? So I believe in it. And, you know, the other side is, you know, on the guys that aren't obvious, is how you're going to pitch them. Or who's pitching.
Yeah.
You know, certain pitches, you know, are more, they tend to be pulled more a sinker ball or opposed to a fastball pitcher that can, you know, get the ball hard away where it's hard to pull. So you have to put that into the equation. And I think the last thing you put in is when we were in Tampa Bay, they had two guys in Luke Scott and Matt Joyce. Most teams shift on them. But what Tampa does, and a lot of these teams don't do, these guys, when you shift on them, if you shift on them early in the count, they're going to bunt. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want to give them the bunt and give them a runner. You know, if they're losing or it's early in the count and it's not two outs, if you try to shift on them, they'll put the bunt down. And that's how you beat that shift a little bit. You know, not that you want Chris Davis bunting with a man on first in a one-run game, but there's many points in a game where you want to keep the line moving and get on base. So when you shift and you do that, you know, the guy has an easy base hit if he wants to take it.
Wow. Baseball lesson every Sunday morning. You're the professor.
Well,
you're the professor every Sunday morning.
These are things that we look at. And, you know, obviously it's in the game today a lot more. And it's things that you have to consider when you're doing it.
Now, can you shift with someone on base? Can you still do it that way?
Well, yeah, with a man on first, you
still
can
do it.
Yeah, you still do it. And some teams, you know, man on first, if the guy doesn't hit the ball to third, you can still put the shift on and you still can handle the double play. It's not a problem. You can, if the ball's hit to short or to second, you can still turn the double play. You know, some teams shift with a man on second base just with the shortstop. You have to leave the third base there or the player at second will steal. But instead of having a shortstop at shortstop, they'll put him on the second base side. But what you don't see as often, and you have seen it this year, and we've did it twice this year, is with a right-handed hitter putting the second baseman on the shortstop side.
Okay.
Now, that's a shift because he's not on the – and we've did it with Soriano, and I think we did it with Ugla from Atlanta because that's where they hit the ball.
That's interesting. You know, in other words, you generally see the shift against the lefty.
Correct.
Why, you know, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Why not against the righty?
Well, some teams are doing it now. And, you know, it'll probably get more you'll probably notice it more as time goes along because I've seen Milwaukee do it. I've seen a couple other teams do it, shifting on right-handed hitters.
Wow. All right. Very good. Now, if I'm a hitter, I guess Ted Williams or Ryan Howard or Chris Davis, you're never going to go the other way or just take a single. You know, when they see the shift in their eyes, they said they're going to hit through it. I just get that feeling.
Well, again, you know, that's what beats the shift if guys are willing to do that or try to do that. And there are guys that will do it. I remember Adrian Gonzalez is a perfect example. You know, we used to shift on him at times, but he's such a good hitter that if you shift on him and he wants a base hit, he can manipulate the bat and hit the ball that way. So not many of them do it, but those are things you have to be concerned with.
Well, we'll look for it today. I assume on Davis, nobody on or situation, you'll probably shift on him.
He's a legit candidate. He pulls a lot more balls, and he's had to hit some balls to third and some balls to short, but certainly not as much as he does when he pulls the ball on the ground.
He had a ball yesterday almost to the glove.
Yeah, well, he hits some.
This is legit power.
He doesn't just hit him in the infield. He
Holy
hits him
cow.
In the outfield a long way. That ball was out of the park in a hurry, and you haven't seen many home runs further than that. I mean, Bonds obviously used to hit him like that, but he's legit power, no doubt about that.
You know, it's unfortunate. We're going to try to have him on this morning at 10:15. ESPN has done a number of shows on him. He's got great power, and you know, he's 27 years old and 33 last year. He's got 42 now. He may hit 60. And I think back to Roger Maris and his ascension to a 60 home run year and then on the other side of it. But in today's world of baseball, and the first question is, do you take drugs? Do you take drugs? And it's so unfortunate. I assume he must be tested constantly, but he gets asked that all the time. But you watch his, he's a big kid. He's strong. He's been a big kid all his life. And now he's just maturing as a baseball player. Boy, that's where we live today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, as you say, but what he's doing is impressive. He's a man amongst boys right now. 108 RBIs, 42 home runs. And to see him in person, he's a strong man. And you know what? He's a pretty darn good hitter.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
in 300.
He's hitting, and that's not easy to do with that type of power. So impressive player, no question about it.
Well, always good to talk any part of baseball with Ron Wotus. Brandon Belt made a play yesterday, and, you know, I played first base as a kid in softball and all that. So, you know, you try to turn that 3-6 or 3-6-3. Right. He made a great stop. From his knees, he tried to throw the short, hit the runner. And I always said, well, if the runner usually looks at the fielder, to see where he is. Isn't that the way it works? And Belt didn't have a clear lane. What about that play?
Yeah, well, if you're a good base runner, and it's happened to us a few times this year, you want to run in the direction of the receiving player. So, you know, if you get picked off, say you get picked off at first base, and, you know, the first baseman's on the inside, the shortstop's supposed to be on the inside to have a throwing lane, not go to the outside part of the bag at second base. And as a runner, you know you're picked off. You start veering to your left to get to the inside, so you hope the throw hits you. In the case yesterday, I didn't see the runner make any type of move.
No, he didn't.
No, I looked at the replay. Arias could have been on the inside, but where he was playing, I think he was on the shift, and he had a hard time getting to the inside of second base where Brandon was, and consequently he was on the in the outside. And that messed up the throwing lane a little bit. So, great stop, as you said. Brandon felt he could make the play. That play comes up a lot. You'll see first basemen many times will get a routine ground ball at first, and they'll go to throw to second, and they'll stop and go ahead and take the out. There's a time if you do not have a throwing lane and you don't think you can finesse the throw in there, because you're not always going to have a perfect throwing lane, but you can get it by him or throw it to the left a little bit where the guy can catch it. If you don't feel confident that that's a probable play for you, you know, early in the game, you want to go ahead and grab the ball, go ahead, forget the throw, take the out, and be happy with that.
Yeah, Jason Giambi used to, I saw it constantly. He would get the ball, and he would look to second, and he would run to first. Well, he did that because he couldn't throw to second.
Yeah, exactly.
He had no chance.
And that's what you don't want. You don't want a guy just taking the out because he's scared to make a throw. But there are times that you need to do that. Just eat the ball and get the out.
All right, stick with us a couple of minutes. We'll take a short break. Ron Wotus with us on this Sunday morning talking great talk about baseball right here. More coming up on the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader. KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
All right, we've got baseball coming up today. It is the Orioles and the Giants Game 3, the rubber match of this three-game series. Excellent baseball. You've come out over the weekend. This is really good baseball. The Orioles are a good team. And we got Matt Cain today against Bud Norris. Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the Giants, is with us. Talking about Brandon Belt, we talked about that defensive play. Heck, he's starting to hit the ball, and not just starting. It's a couple of weeks now.
Hey, looks great. I tell you, the adjustments that he's made, I think he's feeling good about them, and the results are obvious. His bat's going through the zone. Looks like a different hitter. He looks great.
You know, techniques. Hensley Mullins was on with us yesterday. Talked about a special groove bat. You know, to get his hand straight, he's looking for a belt to put around him with like a tug,
yeah,
where you could keep him from overstriding. God, they did that back in the 40s,
sure,
with Lefty O'Doul. With Sandoval, he's got a screen. If he turns too much, he can't turn anymore for his hips. Now, you're a fielding guy.
Right.
Do you get into any of these things with fielding?
Well, first of all, I think when you talk hitting and you talk fielding, everybody in the game has always put a little more effort into trying to figure out things hitting-wise than fielding-wise. And hitting has all the gimmicks. I mean, you see it every spring. Guys coming in spring training, selling, trying to go to Bam Bam, and the hitting guys saying about this new bat or this, what's going to help this guy. So you see things every day. And the fielding side, you very seldom see anything that comes through. On occasion you do. The pancake glove. We've used that a little bit when Tejada was here. I know I used it with Ron Washington when he was in Oakland.
Now, explain that. What is the pancake glove?
Well, the pancake glove is just
it's like a paddle
around glove. It's leather, and it's flat. So you have to use your throwing hand to secure the ball. You cannot catch the ball with one hand.
Okay.
So it helps you if you don't get your body in position and center the ball. You can't really use the two hands to secure the ball, because outside the body it's much more difficult. So you want to use your feet, but it helps to catch the ball with two hands and helps promote, you know, soft hands, because you got to give with a little bit. If you push it or whatever, the ball's just going to fire right off that thing. And the other place that they use the pancake glove is turning a double play with the second baseman. So you can do it with the shortstop, but typically with the second baseman, because you want the two hands together. You don't want to catch on a double play with one hand and then transfer. It takes too long. You want your two hands working together, and that's another place that you can use the pancake glove.
Because
you don't catch the ball. We've tried it. I've done it, and we've done it with infielders before. Because when you turn a double play, you don't actually catch and squeeze the ball.
Okay.
The ball just deflects off your palm of your hand into your throwing hand,
okay,
which brings up one of my pet peeves and the rules that you never see the umpires call the guy safe when the second baseman doesn't make the exchange. You throw to second now, and that ball glances off your glove, and they don't come up with it in their throwing hand to turn it. They call the guy out at second, saying he was pulling it out. Yeah. Well, they don't catch and squeeze the ball. If you don't make an exchange, how did you have control of the ball?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one rule that I'd like to see looked at a little bit more, because the second baseman is just letting that ball glance off his glove to exchange it to turn to double play.
Interesting. Very good. Well, we learned. I'm telling you, he's the professor. He's the professor, Ron Wotus.
If you talk to my brother and sister, people that know me, I tell you, I've never been called the professor before.
Very good. Well, Bill Mazeroski was the greatest at turning double plays, a Hall of Famer for the Pirates, second baseman. And when I remember seeing him, and you thought the ball never went in his glove.
Right.
And I guess that sort of explains it, because I'm telling you, the exchange, there was no exchange. That ball came out of his glove so quickly.
Yeah.
And that's what made him very famous.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for.
Boy, interesting. Looking at the ballpark here, and we talk about nostalgia in baseball and everything. Last night I talked about it on the air of maybe having one more exhibition game at Candlestick Park. Now, you worked there many years, and, of course, there's a lot of memories there. And I don't know if you could sell tickets for it. I think you'd probably sell 62,000, which would make Russ Stanley, our next guest, very happy.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about that? If you had an exhibition game before the next season, you just try to squeeze it in before that A's-Bay Bridge series?
Well, as you said, the people that have spent time at Candlestick, you know, I was there 1 year as a coach. I certainly played there when I was with the Pirates years ago. I think it'd be neat, you know. I mean, because you've been there and it's saying goodbye to the ballpark. The conditions won't be all what we're looking for. I'm not sure if the players will enjoy it. Guys certainly that haven't been there over the years aren't going to enjoy the conditions very well. But for the people that have been in the park, personally for myself, I think that would be a neat thing.
Yeah, I'd like it. Just for one game.
Yeah.
Just to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely one game. I don't think you could go more than one game.
Remember the clubhouse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Down the right field line?
Yeah.
Well, of course, you had the tunnel to get to.
Well, I tell you, the biggest thing about that, and it comes up today, because today, you know, we have a cage. Every team has a cage. Most teams, you know, the old ballparks don't, right off the dugout. So when you're called to pinch hit or you're going into the game on a double switch, you're in there swinging, you're in there throwing, you're ready to go. Well, back in the day when you were the visiting team at Candlestick, like many ballparks, you had to walk across the field, right? And you're on the third base side dugout. Well, you're sitting there in those temperatures for 8 innings, and all of a sudden the manager looks down and tells you, you know, to go to shortstop or you're going to pinch hit. You know what you did? You went over to the bat rack. You took all your jackets off. You got your helmet on, and you took your warm-up swings on deck, and you went to home plate to hit. Now, that's a little more difficult than they have it today. I mean, the conditions that we have today are unbelievable. It was a tough place to come off the bench and play.
Yeah, it was an advantage. You guys used it as an advantage. Roger Craig finally figured it out, you know, to use Candlestick as an advantage,
sure,
and not complain about it.
And it was. It was a big advantage for the home team.
Boy. Well, here we are in August. The dog days are kind of happening for all of us. And talk about it a little bit, because for me, even in my line of work, you know, we start in February and you get to this point and, you know, there's no days off and you've got to do it every single day. For you guys, it's the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it helps if the schedule's in your favor a little bit late in the year. It's always nice to have more off days late in the year opposed to early in the year, but it doesn't always, you know, fall that way. And I think for us being a West Coast club, I mean, we travel as much as anybody in the game going to the East Coast. Look, we just went back to the East Coast.
You're going again.
Last trip. Now we're going back to Washington and Miami and come back with no off day. So the travel really starts to add up on you.
Yeah.
But, you know, besides that, that's part of the deal. I mean, you know, that's what we do. That's what we're professionals. These guys are used to dealing with that. But if you're a guy that plays every single day or a pitcher that has a lot of innings, you know, those things, that's why they call them the dog days. They start to wear on you.
Yeah, you need the pitching staff now and fresh legs, I always say.
Yeah.
Ken Mock always told me fresh legs over the summer, especially in August, get you there. Then the pros take over in September.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. You know, youth in the game today with the travel and the no off days and things like that. You know, the guys that are athletic, you know, they're able to maintain. That's pretty good, and it does affect particular players. You know, depending who you are, your age, and where you're at, how much you played.
How'd you like this guy Gomez this week in center field for the Brewers?
I tell you, he's come a long way. This guy, you know, he was always a you know, like a wild stallion.
Sure.
He had the tools. You could see the tools. He could run like the wind. Had some power, but nothing like the power he has now. He was more of a speed guy, line drive hitter. Now he's an all-star. He hits the ball as far as anybody in the game, and he takes a wicked swing, doesn't he?
Oh, come on. And his fielding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he you know, I do the hit of the week, you know, the Coors Light Great Grab of the Week. I said we could just make Gomez the whole week here. You know, we took Pence for one and Sandoval for one, I think, against Aoki. There are a couple of good plays, but I could have used this guy the whole week.
We've had some great center fielders here. Blanco does a great job out there. Torres covers a lot of ground. But you're right, Gomez went from the left center field gap to the right center field gap to that triples alley as well as anybody I've seen in this ballpark. And he caught a couple balls that the other visiting teams weren't catching.
Youth is taking over in this game. And you saw it at the All-Star game. How many young players you saw in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
And for fans coming out today, and I know it'll be another sellout today, this Manny Machado at third base. He hit a ball Friday night, off the bricks, right-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, just a laser shot.
Yeah, that opened my eyes up as well because we haven't seen that here that much. He's got a nice swing.
Look at his arm.
Well, everything. You know, they put him out in right field for the shift and made a great athletic play. I think it was on Belt.
Yeah. I saw Belt's face after that. You know Belt's look.
Yeah.
You know, Belt looked up in the air and said, please, why me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's usually a hit. And he was way out there and he ranged right to his right and showed that great arm. And, a very good talent. It's fun to watch him play.
All right. Thanks for being in and have a good day today. And our next Pirates, your old team.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, we'll have the Pirates here. We'll see you then.
All right, Marty. Great being with you.
All right. And that is Ron Wotus, the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants.